Hello, Internet, and welcome back to the Engadget podcast. I'm Senior Editor Devendra Hardwar.
I'm Reviews Editor Sherlyn Lowe.
And today we're going to be talking about computers in your ears. Have you heard? Specifically, we're going to be talking about the AirPods Pro, which is, you know, a very fancy pair of wireless headphones, but I think also speaks to a greater trend of tech being shoved into our ears. If you've been enjoying the show, please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review. That really lets us know that people are actually listening. That's great. And if you have any comments, drop us a note at podcast@engadget.com. So, Sherlyn, AirPods Pro. They've been rumored for a while. They've finally been announced this past Tuesday. They are premium AirPods for $250. Let me just go over the quick differences here. They have silicone tips. So like most earbuds, they can just like wedge themselves into your ears, which makes them fit a little, honestly, a lot stronger than the traditional AirPods and their weird plastic shells. And they have active noise canceling, which is something that seems to be the better trend now among premium headphones, just blocking out that noise. What are your thoughts on these? And yeah, will you be getting them?
I am not an Apple user, so no.
The best way to troll Sherlyn is just to be like, so, you know, when are you going to get these? Are they going to work like, with your Android garbage?
Wow. You're so mean, Devendra. It's like, never mind. it's going to be like, it's a day past my birthday, but it's okay. So I have had the pleasure of trying these out. We got our test units in on Wednesday, and I made sure to put them in my ears and get them all messed up. And you know what? They're not bad. They fit better.
I assume, right?
They fit better than I was expecting them to. Just because I don't, again, like I said, I don't like, you know, these in ear buds sticking into my ear canal and just pushing stuff further into that gaping orifice.
Sure, sure.
But
please don't say gaping orifice again.
Yeah. Gaping hole.
No, little hole. Nope.
Teeny tiny hole.
Okay.
Opening. Anyway, they didn't feel like they were sticking so far into my ear canal, my ear hole. And it was good. And this, I listened to my typical trio of, like, you know, test audio quality of musical gadgets. And these are Starboy by The Weeknd.
Starboy's a great song. I love it.
It's a good bass song. Mm-hmm. Then I listened to Kacey Musgraves. I think it was Slow Burn. Just to hear the, you know, clarity of her voice coming out through that. And then I also listened to Feels by Calvin Harris because of kind of the diversity of instruments in there. And they all just sounded pretty good.
Cool.
I could, with the active noise canceling on, I could still hear Chris Velasco talking at me. That might be because
it really, the feature is just there to drown out all your coworkers. Basically. So you don't have to hear them complaining in your shared office space. Yes.
Yeah. But you know, I've also tried a ton of other earbuds recently, like the Echo Buds, which just, you know, our review of that came out. I think everyone's review of the Echo Buds came out this week as well. Actually, the same day, I think Apple announced the AirPods Pro. And those were just problematic.
Problematic. That sounds pretty typical for Amazon. They try a lot of things. I don't think a lot of them really work out so well. But let me just quickly say here. So what is Apple's lineup now in terms of headphones, right? Or in terms of Buds specifically? You've got the AirPods or the newer AirPods with the wireless charging case. There are also the PowerBeats Pro, which are the more like activity focused, exercise focused versions. I have a pair of those as well. I like those because they actually stay on my ears, but they also have this crazy ring that kind of loops around your entire earlobe. That makes it very secure, but also very kind of annoying.
The crazy ring you're talking about, you mean like a clip that's like a Bluetooth headset?
It's like it's more than a Bluetooth headset clip. Like it goes way over your ear. I think it kind of overcompensates for activity, but it is really good for really high, like high motion stuff. So AirPods, I think even people who like them can admit, like, you know, they don't stick in there very well. So PowerBeats Pro are really all about that. It seems like the AirPods Pro kind of goes a bit in between. You know, they'll be more secure than the AirPods for sure, but they'll deliver better sound. But they're, you know, I'm sure people will be using these for exercise, but I don't think they're as activity focused as the PowerBeats. Yeah.
Right. I think if you wanted to like headbang at a mosh pit with the Power Beats Pro, you
wearing
could
headphones
do that.
At a show. Okay. Yeah. That's actually a thing. That is the thing
it
I
is.
Talked about.
Silent discos. Come on.
Oh, God. Yes, that thing. Well, also, wasn't it Pharrell who had that startup he invested in? I wrote this up in Engadget, but there was like a startup where people would pipe the high quality version of live music to headphones, and you would listen to those while you're also in the live
the
auditorium.
True VIP experience.
The true VIP experience. So anyway, sure, it would be good for that. I feel like it's been a long time coming. Let me just lay this out here. I've tested a lot of wireless headphones over the past year. Pretty much all the big names. So I really like Sony's wireless noise canceling buds. They really get to work in their model names. The WF-1000XM3s. The 1000XM3 line is basically their high-end headphones. So the WH-1000s, that's their, great noise canceling cans. But I like their buds. They sound incredible. They're really big, though. Like, they're, I think, bigger than most people realize. But for the quality, it really delivers some solid noise canceling. Sherlyn, you tried out the Surface earbuds as mm-hmm. well, right?
The Surface earbuds, they also look like gauges, which is, odd, I guess. But I think we're all getting used to it. Our video producer, Brian O, yesterday walked by my table with a pair of giant black earbuds that looked like gauges. Uh-huh. I was like, what is sticking out of your head? But anyway, the Surface earbuds fit just more comfortably, I think, and will probably stick in my ears better, I think, than the AirPods Pro. I haven't done like a side-by-side test, but I can't tell you for sure. I still haven't like had them in the wild, so I don't want to like talk too much about the Surface earbuds sound quality. I will say that I have had more experience with the Echo Buds that we've like reviewed recently. I didn't review them. Our audio expert, Billy Steele, did. I just happened to be able to test them here in the office. And don't buy them. Just don't. If you have ears.
Don't buy any first generation Amazon hardware, basically.
Yeah. They're cheaper than the competition at $130. Sure. I mean, the AirPods Pro, close to double that.
Yep. AirPods Pro are $250. The Sony Buds are $230. So, over $200 is kind of where this higher-end noise-canceling thing sits. Microsoft's thing, they don't have noise-canceling. They're actually built to be kind of open. So they sound more similar to, the AirPods, wherein you'll actually hear the sound around you. There's good and bad to that. I feel like walking around the city, I don't necessarily want noise-canceling while I'm walking. Or if I'm exercising or something, but if I'm on a plane, if I'm on a subway, it is really nice to be able to turn on noise canceling. So, I don't expect most people will be getting multiple headphones, but we are at a point where they're starting to do different things. Let me just go over a couple others. I tested out the Jabra 65T Actives. Billy Steele also reviewed those. He really liked them. They came out last year, and I think those are solid, AirPod alternatives. They have silicone tips. Don't really have noise canceling, but they sound good. They fit great. And I also test out the Jaybird Vista, their latest exercise wireless earbuds. And they're pretty good, too. I really like them, and they're selling for $180. So clearly, there are a lot of alternatives around the AirPods price range. And now we're seeing kind of more premium things. It's kind of, I believe, why Apple went with the AirPods Pro, right?
I mean, okay, so you mentioned the AirPods as the competitor for the Jabra and the Jaybird Vista. Are you talking about the regular, what Twitter is calling the AirPod Amateur?
Did you come up with that name?
No,
that sounds
not.
Like a very nice Trillin dig.
Oh, I wish I did. I wish I was such a genius. But no, that's not the official name either. Just is what Twitter is calling them, which I love.
Okay.
But I mean, I think they also, the AirPods regular, I guess, they also cost around the same as what the Pixel Buds are supposed to, right?
AirPods are going for $150 now, $160, depending on when you're buying them. Sometimes they get cheaper, but typically around that range.
Yeah. So the Pixel Buds are coming out next year for about $179, and that's only $20 more, but they offer,
offer, because we have not heard them or tested them or anything.
That is true. The fit seems similar to the AirPods Pro, but I also tested out another pair of earbuds, which are going to be controversial, the Huawei FreeBuds 3. Stay with me. Uh-huh. These aren't going to be available in the U.S.
Yeah,
if you're listening,
this is very useful advice. Thank you.
Listen. We have an international diverse audience. It's fine. The Huawei FreeBuds 3 are actually basically like the AirPods regular. And, they have this open ear style design.
Are you saying Huawei made something that looks like Apple?
I'm not surprised. every
That's
other.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I know. Okay. I know. I'm not surprised. They have, I mean, they come in black too.
So what is the interesting thing about
the Huawei FreeBuds 3? Here's what's interesting about them. They have, again, the similar design to the AirPods Amateurs, where they have like an open ear, not really a sealed off design, but they offer active noise canceling, which is really interesting.
That just means like maybe it will have, so like the way active noise canceling works, right? It uses the microphones on the headphones to take in the audio from the outside world and kind of like basically
play out the same frequency to
so kind of minimize what you're actually hearing within the earbuds.
Yeah,
with an open earbud, that sounds not great. That sounds like it's not going to work so great.
So
but
it's
okay.
Not 100% open. Like it's still, the external design looks a lot like the AirPods. Mm-hmm. But
have you tried these?
I have. I've tried a demo unit when I was in Berlin at IFA this year. And they actually sounded pretty good. We have units in for testing. And, you know, our full review is going to show like, just how good or bad they are soon. But again, not available in the U.S., only in Europe or other parts of the world. But again, if you're in those parts of the world, consider them. Not like that's if look, that's if you're okay with, you know, Huawei's reputation and like what's going on with them versus the U.S. and all of that stuff. But, you know,
that's going to be a longer discussion. Huawei and Huawei's hardware and everything they're doing. But OK, good point. Good point.
Something to pay attention to.
The big takeaway here is that everybody's making these things.
Yep.
It seems like the hardware has gotten cheap enough to like Anker make their Liberty Air AirPod clones sell for $80. You know, I've seen some really cheap ones under $50, which probably don't even sound as good. So clearly, like, the ability to create wireless buds it's there. Like, the hardware's out there. It's not that tough. So people are just trying to figure it out right now.
Here's another brand that no one expected to unveil wireless earbuds this week. Razer also came out at us with the Hammerheads, truly wireless. And they're meant for, I guess, mobile gaming, because they promise these like no lag gaming
sounds.
Sure,
Razer. Sure.
Sure.
Whatever.
Right.
Sherlyn, when can we expect the Pixel Buds?
Next year, bro.
Next year.
It's coming out next year, which is why we don't really know a lot about how they perform yet. So we can't say much.
I don't even know why they announced it. It was like, here are earbuds you can put on the shells of our earbuds. We promise they'll sound good.
Often when a company announces something so early, like so much earlier than when it will launch, is when they want to get developers interested in developing things for the platform.
They're just headphones, man.
But these, unless you're going to stuff something else inside these Pixel Buds, we don't know.
Okay,
I had to jump on the mic for a second. Yes, this is Ben, the producer. So I'm not convinced about wireless headphones at all. You can take my 3.5-millimeter headphone jack from my cold, dead hands. Everyone I know in the audio community is not convinced about Bluetooth anything. They say that it will never be lossless. The quality is still bad. What do you have to say about that? What do you have to say to me as the representative of the audiophile community?
Whoa, Ben, you just ripped that microphone out of my hands to really get this. Ben is now tattooing a 3.5-millimeter like cable onto his arm. It's getting crazy over here. I'll say I hear you. I hear your concerns, but when it comes to Bluetooth audio, I do feel like we've come a long, long way. Like, things sound great right now. The Sonys that I've tested sound as good or better than most wired earbuds. A lot of these companies are figuring out how to use Bluetooth more efficiently. Some of them are using higher-end codecs, too. So if you have an Android device and if you have a certain compatible pair of headphones, you can use like the aptX codec, which delivers even higher quality sound. I don't think anything will ever really satisfy the hardcore audio community, but I don't think that's the point of these devices. Like, these things are meant for convenience. You're not going to be able to bring your portable DAC and your wired headphones and your like 5-foot cable onto the subway. I'm looking at Ben right now, who's currently tangled in a web of speaker cable. It's crazy. This is about convenience. This is about hitting a button, having a thing in your ears, and getting decent quality sound. I think like we've gotten to a point where these things sound good. They're no longer trash. I had a lot more complaints when it was just like the AirPods on the market, because they're not great. They sound bad. And I think I have very strange ears, because they literally will just not stay in my ears. I see how like a lot of other people wear them. They kind of like rest in this like nook of their ear, and my ears literally don't have those. So the only way I can wear AirPods is if I stand perfectly still at a desk, but if I move my head, if I turn around, they fly right out. So I'm probably not the best critic of the AirPods, but I don't think Apple's ever really paid that much attention to audio quality until recently, right? Like, the iPod was a revolutionary thing because it was so portable and because it offered so much convenience. But the sound quality was never that great. And those built-in white, those freaking white buds that lasted for a decade before they even updated them, they were ubiquitous. They sounded like garbage. And I think I got a lot more angry about those things than, like, the trend toward wireless audio, because I feel like, at least when it comes to Bluetooth, we've come to a good point.
So I was silent for a good, 2 minutes there, just because I straight passed out when Ben said what he said. I just was so mad. I saw black and then I saw white and then I passed out. Because that's what Devendra was saying, right? The whole point of these truly wireless earbuds is that they're convenient. And you sometimes have to sacrifice things for convenience. And is your laptop that you're carrying around with you every day the most powerful desktop gaming machine you could ever get? No. And I think that Ben is quickly acquiescing that he knows what we're saying. If you want these headphones that sound amazing when you're in your studio editing the crap out of the next great Beyonce tune, you know, you're going to have your professional setup at your workspace. But when you're on the go, you know, when you're commuting, what's important is, like, yes, you're going to be able to put them in your ear and they're lightweight and they last forever and you can hear them. They don't have to sound fantastic. You're not about to, like, you know, I don't know, unless you're about to, like, flash mob someone. You don't need super high quality tunes on the go. That's what I think. To your point, though, Dev, you were talking about, like, how, you know, if you just so much as breathe, the AirPods fall out of your ear. I think the AirPods Pro are going to fit better for you.
Oh, I definitely know they will.
And then you'll get the better sound quality from that. And B, I think everyone's ears are just different. We're all different people, guys.
We're all different people. Well, what was the stat from Microsoft, right? When they said they were designing these Surface Buds, they said they designed this unique mechanism to kind of fit comfortably for 97% of people. But there is, like, an outlier 3% where it may not be perfect. And I actually think I am among that 3% too, because they felt like, when I tested those demo units, they felt okay. They didn't feel great. They didn't feel transcendent. And according to Sherlyn, they locked into her ears just perfectly. So in a future episode or a future piece, I'm going to go to, like, an ear doctor, ear scientist, and have them see what's wrong with me.
I don't think that necessarily means something is wrong with you, but
nobody designs anything for my ears. Like, that's my big complaint.
You might have to get them, like, custom made or custom fit. Yeah. But here's the thing, right? And you're not alone in this. That 3% of you who don't really have ears that fit most buds are pretty vocal, which is good. Like, all I see on Twitter and Reddit, which is apparently where I lurk too, are people saying, no, these things are garbage, they don't fit for me. The thing is, I think at least the two of us, the three of us here, are acknowledging that you exist. And I think that the companies need to step up and be a bit more conscious that, you know, not one size fits all.
Sure.
And how do you go about doing that?
Never make, like, one size fits all earbuds again, basically. Like, that plastic case also feels so bad. I love earbuds. I've worn them for a while. I just have to be very particular with my tips, basically. To your point, Ben, to the 3.5 millimeter jack, I'm right there with you. I was certainly annoyed as Apple and Samsung, well, Samsung kept it for a while, but I was annoyed as, like, everybody started following Apple's lead and removing it, because it didn't seem like we gained much, right? I still like having wired headphones. As long as there's space in the hardware, it was a nice thing to keep around. Apple argued before that they took it out for 3D Touch, which is something they completely removed this year in the iPhone 11. So, you know, their argument never really fit. Now we got some slightly better battery life. I think now that wireless earbuds are cheaper and the adapters aren't great, but they're at least okay to use now that battery life is better. I hear you, though. I miss my 3.5 millimeter jack. I think that thing, we owe it so much. It handled so much technical stuff. It lasted for, nearly 100 years, I think. Like, it's a really powerful thing.
So how do we buy headphones? How should we pick them for our ears? I mean, the thing about fit with truly wireless earbuds, especially if you're looking for a good seal and a good, like, noise-canceling quality, the fit is really important. I mean, I was having trouble with the Echo Buds because they just didn't fit well. And you have to, like, take a whole fit test in that setup process. Devendra, you probably have a lot of experience dealing with this because your ears are so finicky.
My ears are super weird. And I've been using earbuds since high school, pretty much. I'll say right now, it is so much easier to figure out, like, we have great reviews in Gadget from people like Billy and other folks who test out headphones. There, you know, it's not hard to find reviews of devices. I think the main thing to consider is that one pair of headphones probably won't do everything for you. So what I see in the park a lot is people like with giant Beats, you know, cans going for runs and stuff. And I'm not sure they're built for sweat and everything like that. Try to think about what you're going to be using your headphones for. So if you're going to be commuting a lot and you want that active noise cancellation, then keep an eye out for that particular feature. If you're more interested in quality than you are like the convenience of wireless buds, I would lean more towards full-sized cans instead of the buds, because yeah, the buds are just fine. There's certainly more headphones that are focused on like activity and exercise, like the Powerbeats Pro or Jaybird's lineup, than like straight up quality like Sony's lineup. So I guess figure out what you're looking for and you can start to see that within your devices. But the really interesting thing about buying headphones now is that it's not that tough. You just have to know what you're looking for and try out a bunch of different things. So for cans, you could typically try those out at stores like Best Buy. You could just put them on. Earbuds are another story. Earbuds are super gross. It's not a, you don't want to be in a situation where you're like trying on earbuds that somebody else has been using. But a lot of stores offer decent return policies. Like you could just try it out or ship it back to Amazon or bring it back to Best Buy. Honestly, Best Buy is kind of a great resource for that. I'm sure you'll hear a lot of geeks and tech nerds rag on it, but it is one of the few remaining electronic stores out there. And you can just like walk over, pick up something, buy it, and walk away with it. And if you don't like it, you can return it pretty much without any questions. So I think that's probably the best way to do it. Fit is an important thing. It also seems like that's what the companies are focusing on more too. The AirPods Pro have a special section in their settings where they'll determine if they're fitting your ears properly, which I think is really interesting. Sony's earbud app also can map your ears to tune the buds to your like ear profile. So it seems like a lot more folks are thinking about that now. I think that's pretty important as well.
I think Dev makes a really good point about going into a physical store and trying them out. Like, it is gross to kind of stuff these in your ear, but if they're a good store, when we go to these events to test these out as well, there's like hundreds of journalists also putting them in their ears. Often what they'll do is they'll give like disposable tips, mm-hmm. or you know, tips are more disposable than the buds, so that's kind of your barrier.
Yeah, and then they wipe them down with alcohol. Well, stores don't typically do that, right? They may have a Beats can out there, but they don't. No store has earbuds, so you kind of just have to buy them. You have to buy them, try them, and return
them.
Wipe them down and return them if you don't like them.
So the other thing about these earbuds, though, is that they're more and more providing access and touch points to assistants, right? They're mm-hmm. not just truly wireless; they also have the connection to Siri, to Google Assistant, sure. and Alexa.
That is really, I think, it's the Trojan horse into your ear.
Whoa.
That's why they're all doing it. Yeah.
I think of that as a convenience, but I guess a Trojan horse. But this kind of completely ties into what we've been talking about, the whole notion of ambient computing, mm-hmm. which is the idea that everything around you is a computer. Everything around you provides access to this giant all-knowing cloud of information.
As Google would like to think of themselves, yeah.
Of course, omniscient, or, you know, maybe Apple, maybe whoever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like the idea. I don't know if you think that that's terrifying.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm the sort of person that walks around with earbuds pretty much all day. If I'm walking through New York, if I'm on the subway, even if I'm at home just doing stuff, doing the dishes, I will have a pair of headphones in because I like audio. I like podcasts. But also that ability to just quickly like call somebody or answer a call. Headphones and a good pair of earbuds kind of makes it creates this wireless tether between you and your computer or phone and kind of keeps you always connected. So I think that's the real purpose there. And when it comes to assistive stuff too, by the way, it's also for like medical reasons. I think people with hearing issues could really use some of these devices. At CES a couple of years ago, we saw several companies offering, you know, earbud type things that would help you hear better and not just hear music. So the ability to augment the way we hear and interact with tech, I think, is like the main overarching purpose of all these things.
I think it's all very promising. I mean, Bose launched a couple years ago this thing called Bose AR, which is augmented audio,
sure.
Which is meant to kind of describe to you your world around you if you need that extra help. And the idea, also one of the promises of these wireless earbuds when they were first starting to proliferate, is live translation. And, you know, Microsoft is doing with the Surface earbuds, live captioning, but eventually they're also going to add live translation from your earbuds so that you can talk to someone who speaks a different language than you.
Like, this is all bringing us closer to Star Trek, basically, right? Like, the idea of, like, you'll have an all-knowing computer. You could just ask questions. I just reviewed the latest Amazon Echo. It's kind of the same thing. It's bringing computer and this all-knowing thing instantly accessible to you.
I'm not a Trekkie.
So. You're not a Trekkie. Ugh.
But, you know, I mean, truly wireless earbuds are great, but I think that there's another form factor you seem to like more.
Well, here's the thing. We've been talking a lot about wireless earbuds, truly wireless earbuds. There's so many other form factors. Let's not forget about the wireless buds that have that little tether to them, like the Beats X. I like that.
I'm shaking my head.
So much. I know you're shaking your head, but here's the thing. There's so many more pain points with wireless buds.
The syncing might be a problem sometimes, right?
Well, the syncing can be a problem. They have worse reception. They have worse battery life. I think just practical things. Like, what do I do with a pair of wireless buds when I want to just talk to somebody, when I want to take them out of my ears and have a conversation with somebody? I got to fumble around. Got to search my pockets. Got to find the case. Got to put it in the case. If I don't do that, I will just stuff the earbud into my pocket, and then it'll go into the laundry machine. And that's happened to me several times. What do you do if you drop a wireless earbud in New York City? If it drops on the subway or, you know, the sidewalk, you're
Say
screwed.
Goodbye.
You're
Say
screwed.
Goodbye.
There was a long Twitter thread about somebody working to get their AirPods from the subway track, and it became this huge thing. It is astounding to me that this is a problem we're having just because of the, you know, the magic of pure wireless buds. It's fine, but I don't mind the thin cable. With the cables, they can just dangle around my neck. They can be there, accessible. If they fall, both don't just immediately fall into the worst possible place. So I kind of prefer that.
You're talking about the necklace-style earbuds, the Bullets Wireless from OnePlus, or the LG Tone necklace, necklace.
The earbuds. LG Tone necklace. Well, not quite. So LG had this weird thing. They were like horseshoe collars, and that was the thing they popularized. I'm not for the horseshoe collar, but I am for, like, a
necklace.
Give me a cable. Give me something.
Here's my problem with it. Uh-huh. And I can see just by looking at you how you don't have a problem with it, and that's better for you. I get it. It's convenient. You just let them dangle around your, like, those glasses cable things where you, like, lose your spectacles if you have them. I can't do that because my hair is huge. My hair is huge. I have thick hair.
I know.
Any person with long, thick hair will not be able to enjoy necklace earbuds.
Well, also because the necklace earbuds are meant to wear behind your head and not in front of your head. And I actually, walking around New York, like, when these were a big thing, I would just, like, casually point out to people, like, they were really struggling to hold them in front of them. I was like, just put it behind your neck.
Right. And
that's all.
But for me, behind my neck, I have to, like, untuck my hair and make sure it's under my hair.
That's understandable. But isn't your hair also a problem, like, with wireless earbuds? Don't they?
No.
It doesn't fall out as much. Like, to me, it would seem like as big of an issue, basically.
No, it's less of an issue because all these wires get trapped up in my hair when I get home, and then I'm stuck in this turmoil Amazonian jungle of cables.
It's kind of a give and take in terms of practicality and all sorts of things. I just want to say, I hope we don't forget about them entirely. There are so many other things.
There's value in them,
building, So hearables are hot, but what about computers on our wrists? What about smartwatches? I was promised a Knight Rider or James Bond-esque smartwatch that would do everything. Doesn't seem like that really worked out, Trillin. What the hell happened?
First of all, I hate the word hearables, so take that back.
I'm going to be using that as much as possible.
Good Lord. Second of all, nobody promised you that. I don't know what you were imagining, but
Did you not grow up with, like, cool sci-fi wristwatches and stuff? Like, that's essentially what the smartphones became. It seemed logically that that's what the smartwatches
were. I think we've established that you and I grew up in different times. But, okay.
Trillin just graduated high school.
Yes, I did. So, wearables, okay. Wearables, like hearables. Why am I using the word? Wearables.
Because it's the best term.
Wearables, like your headphones and your smartwatches, are very promising. It does offer a lot of access to computing wherever you are on your body. The problem with smartwatches is that even though they're so easy to wear, they've just not been able to achieve much with the entire platform. So this week we've had a lot of news come up about smartwatches trying to revive or sort of research. We heard that Google might be in talks to buy Fitbit, which would be pretty sad and bad news.
It's not a revival news. That is, like, the death of smartwatch news.
Oh, boy. I don't know. It could be promising because Google has bought Fossil IP, intellectual property.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Fitbit is, like, one of the best known names in wearables and fitness.
Remember
wearables.
Android Wear? I remember it.
it still exists. It's just been rebranded as Wear OS.
Yeah. But it's also like, where are the devices? Where are the partners? I actually just bought my
wife. They're all there.
There's not that many. Nobody's really...
The tech partners have disappeared. So, yes. The LGs, the Samsungs, the Huaweis have all given up making Wear OS watches.
Probably
but
not
Fossil,
a great sign. Yeah.
Fossil has made a lot of these watches, like Kate Spade, Armani, Michael Kors. They've all got Android Wear watches or
because
Wear OS watches.
We should have an episode just about Fossil and how insane they are as a company. Because Fossil just... Their strategy is, I'm going to make 100 things. And if 5 of those succeed... good for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Another piece of interesting news. So all these tech companies have given up making Wear OS watches. Moto 360, though, one of the OG round Wear OS watches,
which
is back.
Which looked good. Yeah.
It looked good. It wasn't successful by any means because they all died, but it looked good. It was very intriguing. It's coming back, but not by Motorola. The company that's making them is called eBuyNow.
Say that again.
eBuyNow.
eBuyNow.
eBuyNow. Don't understand it, but
this also does not. So you started this conversation, Shalim, by saying we're seeing the rise of smartwatches.
I did not say this.
This is some like no name web company bringing back the Moto OS hardware with new chips, which is kind of nice. But the Moto 360 hardware.
So eBuyNow,
not a good sign.
eBuyNow licensed the name from Motorola, so Motorola actually had a hand in helping market this. But yeah, I don't go out and buy the Moto 360 if you're thinking of getting that. Just don't. Just kind of be careful. And one more thing, Xiaomi also teased on Weibo, which is like Chinese Twitter, that it is making a Mi Watch.
What does it look like?
The Apple Watch.
Surprising.
I mean, Xiaomi has had a history of making things that look like Apple devices for a while now, so I'm not surprised. But none of this is exciting news for smartwatches.
What do you think has been the problem with smartwatches? Because is it the hardware? Is it the software? Because to me, I still think this market has like potential. I own an Apple Watch Gen 4. I think, I don't use it for as much as I thought I would, but it's really useful for like when I'm going out on a run and tracking where I am, or like our two-factor authentication thing here at work. When I need to like approve a login to our email or CMS, I just hit a button on my watch and I keep on going. But where, what do you think the deal is?
Are you ready? Are you ready for my truth bomb?
Yes.
The problem with smartwatches is battery life. That's it. If we could find a way to make these things last the way regular watches do, they would stay on our hands forever or on our wrists forever. There's a mix of hardware and software. The fact that the batteries don't last as long as they need to in this small form factor, plus the chipsets just aren't doing what they promised to do, which is run at very low power consumption and do enough things to make people want to keep charging them and use them and reuse them. That's our biggest issue, I think, in the smartwatch industry today.
Also, always on displays, too. Like, that was a big part of Apple Watch Series 5. Like, the display doesn't turn off. You don't have to do the stupid gesture to make it come back, right?
They're starting to be like more like real watches, but the battery life is still preventing them from really going all the way. So, listen, one of these days, there is a watch now from Garmin, at the very least, that, has a solar panel on the face. And so that has a lot of potential.
1980s tech. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't born yet.
Oh, my God. I hate you so much.
But.
Barely. For me, I think the biggest problem with smartwatches, for nerds and geeks, like, they're into it. I get it. I don't think these things are necessary. And I think they're fundamentally, like, secondary or even tertiary among the needs most people have. Most people don't wear watches. You know, we've kind of, like, relied on our phones to tell time and things like that. So it is kind of a hard nut to crack.
As you say this, I'm staring at the Apple Watch on your wrist.
Yeah, I just said I have an Apple Watch, really. And thank you for paying attention to the conversation.
Busy looking at
your
Apple
Watch.
I just bought my wife
the Fossil, the new Fossil, like, sport one
Gen 5.
Has Android Wear. Yeah, Gen 5, I believe. She likes these things because she's also a bit of a tech geek, but also she likes, responding to text messages with voice and things like that. So that functionality, I think as it opens up and as more people get to it, I think it could be really useful. This ties back into what I've been saying about Google not really understanding or doing hardware well. This is a thing you kind of just have to hammer at. You have to hammer at it. You have to optimize it. You have to make it better. Wear OS has not changed much in the past few years. Like, they're not making it better to entice third parties. So the third parties left, and Google's like, I don't know. I'll keep making watches, I guess.
So, to your point, the Apple Watch is a really useful platform. The Wear OS, reply to text messages with your voice functionality is great. And there's a lot of promise there. Wear OS has changed a little bit over time. I mean, there was a recent redesign last year that made health tracking a big more of a focus. And with Fitbit's potential acquisition here, it could become much more powerful. We don't know. Maybe they'll bring back Pebble. I'll be very happy. But the Wear OS is not the best platform for Android phone users, honestly, when it comes to smartwatches. I'd say Samsung actually found some sort of formula that seems to work.
But that works best on Samsung phones.
No, it works on Android. I use it with my Pixel.
Okay.
It's great. The Galaxy Watch and the Watch Active series, they're both really good. Don't sleep on it. If you're into a smartwatch for your Android phone, think about it.
Okay. Sherlyn, it's been nice arguing with you, as always. But what are you working on? What can we expect from you at Engadget?
As always, I'm testing a million things. I finally have the Surface Pro X in hand. And
finally!
That review is coming out soon, basically. That's all I can say.
Cool. I just put up a review of the new Amazon Echo, which is very nice. Sounds very good. And I have the Surface Laptop 3 that I'll be writing up for next week as well. It seems nice. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, when I'm not working, you guys, I'm playing. And I have a cool, interesting option for our Engadget picks this week. It is Halloween, and I'm all about the horror movies, horror TV shows. I recently started rewatching Haunting of Hill House, which I really liked.
So good. Yeah.
It's so good. And Haunting of Bly Manor, which is the follow-up, is rumored to be dropping today.
Ooh.
I'm excited. Keep your eye out for that. Keep your one eye out. So I really liked Haunting of Hill House because I felt like it was such a creative retelling of the Shirley Jackson novel that honestly has been told again and again.
Yeah. And it's a classic. Yeah.
Before this TV show, my favorite rendition of the story,
I'm gonna shake my head. Just getting ready. Okay.
Was Scary Movie 2.
What? The parody of the 90s remake?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
Let me save this podcast. I'm going to recommend Parasite, which is a good movie directed by Bong Joon-ho, one of my favorite Korean filmmakers. He did Snowpiercer. He did The Host, Okja, recently.
I love Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer's so good. This movie is it seems like a trend in Korean cinema right now to be really talking about class struggles and the differences between the rich and the poor in that country. And this movie is incredible. If you can see it in a theater, go see it. I think it's an astounding film. Also really reminds me of Burning, which is the great Korean film on Netflix right now. So both worth a watch.
That's it for our show today, everyone. Thank you for listening. We have new theme music. It was created by Dale North, who is also a gaming composer. You might know his work from Wizard of Legend. Our other music is created by managing editor Terrence O'Brien, and the podcast is produced by Ben Elman. You can find Devendra online ranting about movies at...
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Devendra, and also I do the /filmcast at /film.com.
If you want to get me and you're not a troll, you can find me at Sherlyn Lowe on Twitter. Please send us any questions or feedback at podcast@engadget.com or drop us a note at Twitter. And come back next week for a fresh new episode.